I'd like for you to get your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This is John's Gospel. And I want you to turn to John chapter 16. In the Gospel of St. John chapter 16, we have some of the final words of Jesus before he would go to the cross. And I want to share with you these words today, coming to you, especially in light of the days that we're living in. John chapter 16, and I want us to read a portion of Scripture here. And if it says, we're going to begin reading here in chapter 16, and we'll start reading at verse 4, and we're going to read all the way through verse 14, and we're going to get into this Scripture a little bit. Again, starting with verse 4, it says this. This is Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, it's all in red. And he says this. He says, I have told you these things so that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not tell you these things at the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? Rather, sorrow has filled your heart because I have told you these things. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the counselor or comforter will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I am going to my Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world stands condemned. I have yet many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. He will speak whatever he hears, and he will tell you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will receive from me and will declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and will declare it to you. And I just want to read one more time, verse 8, and it says this. When he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I want to speak with you a little bit this morning on the subject of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would use your word to speak to each and every one of our hearts this morning. I pray that you'd help me to relay your heart, Lord, to your people. And I pray especially in these latter days in which we are living that we would truly understand your work and what you will be doing. For Lord, you are coming. You have come, I should say. And Lord, this work will continue until the time that, Lord, this particular work ceases. And so I ask that you would teach us this morning, Holy Spirit, and have your way, we ask, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. These words of Jesus, beginning in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John, are Jesus' final words before he would go to the cross. You only read about these particular words in the Gospel of John. As you well know, the Gospel of John is unique. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the Synoptic Gospels because of their similarities. Whereas the Gospel of John is unique. He included things that some of the other Gospel writers did not include. John's intention in writing his Gospel was to show that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was his purpose. He wanted to prove to whoever would read his gospel account that Jesus truly was the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ of the living God. And John, in these chapters, relays to you and me the importance of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday we talked about Joel's prophecy that in the latter days he would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. And today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and his work. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell you and me, and part of his work is to lead, guide, and teach us. How many of you know that? thank God that that's what he will do in you and in me. As we are walking hand in hand with the Master, as we are seeking the face of God, as we pray, as we read the Word, and we ask, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Lord, I want to know you more. As we are seeking the face of God, the Holy Spirit within us will begin to lead and direct our steps. It's an amazing thing. I remember when I first got saved, I didn't understand any of this. I think I've mentioned to you before, I got saved by listening to Billy Graham on television. And it was actually years before I had actually attended a church. I had accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior through Billy Graham when I was in ninth grade high school. But I had not gone to church until I had graduated high school when my cousin Paul said, hey, James, you want to go with me to church? And I said, yes. I still remember driving to church that day, and I've told you the story, but for those that have never heard it, I remember my mom that morning, it was a Sunday morning, about probably 9:45 or so, and I was there at the kitchen table, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to be going to church today. And she said, where? And I said, well, I'm actually going with Paul. I'm going with Paul to the church. And of course, that was a little Spanish Assembly of God church there in Capulene. And so I remember Paul was coming to pick me up on his car, and my mom began to cry, and she began to weep, and she began to say, but you never would go to church with me. Why don't you go to church with me? Of course, we were raised Roman Catholic. And I said, well, Mom, I'm going to go to church with Paul. And I remember she was crying, and she was heaving those kind of cries that are coming from the gut. And it was heartbreaking for me to see my mom crying like that, because obviously she didn't want me to switch churches or anything like that. And so when I was standing there, a crossroads came into my life, a decision, a hard decision I had to make. And when I was standing there looking at my mom crying, the scripture came to me, and it was spoken to my heart. It wasn't just that I read it, but God spoke it to me, and it said, if you love father or mother, brother or sister, husband or wife more than me, you're not worthy of me. And I remember that scripture hit me on the spot, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to do what my mother wants me to do, or am I going to follow after God the way God is leading my life? And when God's Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, sometimes we have to make those kinds of decisions. It's not always easy on us, but they're decisions we have to make. And so she was crying there, and there comes Paul's car, and I remember it was heartbreaking for me, but I said, Lord, I want you. I want you above everyone and everything else. And so I left my mom crying in the kitchen. I got in the car and we drove to church. And I remember right before I walked into the church, I almost turned back and told Paul, hey, just take me back home. But I remember I said, no, I want God. And so I went into the church, and I remember just the peace and presence of God there. And the rest is history, so to say. I do find it interesting that the Lord began to deal with my mom's heart that very day as she went with some other of my family to the Stations of the Cross there in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains over there in San Luis. And when they went to those Stations of the Cross, she says, you know, James, I don't know why or what stopped me, but I wasn't able to bow down before those crosses like I used to before. And God was starting to deal with her. Amen. God was starting to work in her life. But had I never made that decision, I'm not sure she would be born again today, but thank God she's saved. Amen. When we put our lives into the hand of God and we have received him as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to make his residence within our hearts and our lives, and he will begin to lead and direct our lives and our steps. As you're praying and reading the Word, he'll begin to inspire you and give you thoughts. I would have never thought I would have went to Pennsylvania, but God was moving on me. God was directing and eventually would leave for 19 years and so on and so forth. I remember leaving home. I had never left home before. But when God is moving you, you'll do things you never thought you could do. And then in hindsight, wonder how in the round world you did it. Sometimes I look back and think, how did I do it? But thank God for his grace. Amen? Amen. But with the Holy Spirit, Jesus told them some very interesting words in verse 7. He said, nevertheless, you see, their hearts were troubled. They were sad. They knew Jesus was about to leave them. And I can only imagine what I would have felt like if I was his disciples as well. I mean, you've been with Jesus, you've seen amazing things, you are convinced that he's the very Son of God, and now you're hearing him talking about him leaving you and dying on a cross. And so you're troubled within, and he says this to them in verse 7. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." He's saying it's actually for your benefit. That word expedient means it's for your good. It's for your benefit, for your good, that I go away. And he says, because if I do not go away, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will not come to you. That word Counselor in my version, the Modern English Version, or Comforter in your King James Version, or the Greek word there naming the Holy Spirit is the Parakletos. The Parakletos. And that, in the Greek definition, means the one called alongside to help. You see, Jesus would physically die on the cross, would physically resurrect from the grave, and physically ascend into heaven in the sight of his disciples. He would leave them, never to return until his second coming. And so they were going to be left alone, but thank God, he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. Amen? He says, it's for your benefit that I'm going away, because then he will come to you. He says, but if I go, I will send him to you. And I'm thankful to God that the Holy Spirit is with us. Amen? Not only does he dwell within, he's with us here. Amen? In Center Assembly of God this morning. But then it says in verse 8, some interesting words that I want us to discuss for a little bit. He says, but when he comes, he will convict the world. I want you to say, he will convict the world. Will you? No, he will. Amen? And he will do it through you. But the Holy Spirit is the one that does the convicting of the heart. And it says, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then he describes it and he says, of sin, verse 9, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I am going to my Father, and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world stands condemned. And I've read these words over the years, and I've thought in my mind, what does this mean, Lord? And as I've grown, and I've learned, and I've studied, I'm here to tell you that these words mean quite a bit. And so I want you to understand one thing first, and it is this. Is that the Holy Spirit comes to make Jesus known to you and to me. He wants to reveal Christ to you. He wants to make him known to you. He wants to reveal the person of Jesus Christ to you in a way that you don't learn it by study. He wants to give you a revelation, an understanding of who Jesus is, and that will only come but through the work of the Holy Spirit in and through your life. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk of his own. He doesn't go and try to reveal himself. He will reveal Christ to you. And if you want to know Jesus, and you want to know him more in your heart and your life, ask God to fill you more and more with the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, teach me Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit delights in making Christ known. But it says here that he will begin to convict the world. And when it talks about the Holy Spirit bringing conviction, he's the one that brings to the mind and heart of individuals, saved and unsaved, the reality of their need for God. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit can come into our lives and out of nowhere he begins to put within us a desire to want to start attending church. Amen? That wasn't from you. That was God's Holy Spirit working in your heart, drawing you with cords of love. That's the Holy Spirit that begins to draw and begins to put within the heart of man the desire to want to get it right with God. That's the Holy Spirit at work in the life. All of a sudden, one morning, even as Brother Hyman mentions, right? All of a sudden, I've got to go to church. That came from the Holy Spirit, amen? The Holy Spirit dealing with the heart. That when I was that young kid and I didn't know what to do with my life, and my mother told me, James, read the Bible and pray and God will help you. God was dealing with that young James. Amen. But the Holy Spirit brings conviction. He's the one that begins to bring to mind the need to seek after God and the things of God. But it says here that he's going to bring to light certain things. Number one, he says he's going to convict the world of sin. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit will do this. But it says in verse 9 of sin, because they do not believe in me. And what it's meaning is this, is the Holy Spirit is going to bring to your and my mindset, to our hearts, the need to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because when you and me will open our hearts up to Jesus, Jesus will come into our lives. And you know what's going to happen? When Jesus comes into your life and you are washed in His blood, all of your sin has been washed away. Amen. All of your sin in Christ Jesus has been eradicated by the blood. And you have been made completely whole in the sight of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And so when it says he's going to convict the world of sin, he's going to convict the world of sin because they don't believe in him. You and me have been washed in the blood. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit bringing us to an understanding of what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross. How through Christ and His righteousness, He has made us whole and complete. And so the world will be convicted of their sin by the Holy Spirit because they have not chosen to believe in Jesus. Because when the sinner comes to God by faith and believes in Jesus Christ as Savior, their sin is wiped away. Can you say amen to that? The Holy Spirit will draw you and me to that blood flow. Amen? And we will be washed clean by that blood. And I'm thankful to God for that. But the sinner, those in the world, will be convicted of their sin because they don't believe in Him. Because when they exercise a belief in Jesus and they turn to Him with all of their hearts, their sins will be washed away. Amen. Then it says, not only will He convict the world of sin, He is going to convict the world of righteousness. Verse 10 says, of righteousness, because I am going to my Father, and you will see me no more. And what's interesting is this, is that the Holy Spirit is going to bring you as a believer to an understanding of God's righteousness. And to be honest with you, when you understand God's righteousness, you begin to understand that God's righteousness is a person, and He is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus is the righteousness of God revealed. And so when you have come to God by faith and your sins have been washed away by the blood, you've been brought into God's righteousness by faith. And the Holy Spirit's going to make that known to you as a believer. He's going to begin to instruct you and help you understand who you are as a child of the living God, that you don't have to be condemned any longer. You have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. But it will also work the opposite way to the worldly one that doesn't choose Jesus, in that they will be shown that they are outside of God's righteousness and in need of the righteousness of God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings that to the heart and shows them, look, you are unrighteous. You can't become righteous in and of yourself. You need God's righteousness. And what's beautiful is that God gives His righteousness freely as a gift. Amen? All we have to do is freely receive what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. Praise the Lord. We know the heart of the Bible, John 3:16, well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God extends to humanity the righteousness that He requires, and He gives it to you and me by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so the Bible says the Holy Spirit will be the one that will convince the world of their need for this, but will also help you as a believer to understand what you have in Christ. Amen. But then thirdly, he says, not only of sin and of righteousness, but he also said of judgment. Verse 11 says, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world stands condemned. What Jesus came to do on the cross would forever change the grip of Satan over humanity. You see, when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, they had, in a sense, given over all of their rights and privileges and all of who God had created them to be and said, here, have it. And in return, death and condemnation and dying and sickness, disease, hatred. The effects of sin were obvious right away with Cain and Abel, weren't they? I mean, right away, Cain got jealous of Abel, killed him. I mean, and those were the first children of Adam and Eve, other than daughters that we don't know of. The Bible doesn't list the names of the daughters, does it? But be that as it may, sin infiltrated the human race, and the reality was that sin would bring judgment. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit would convince the world, convict the world of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. And Jesus would show that for the believer, the condemner has been condemned. That the one that condemns you and tries to condemn you and put you in hell for your humanity is himself condemned. Amen? For it says clearly that the judge or the ruler of this world stands condemned. And what's beautiful is this, is that you as a child of the living God no longer need to feel condemned. You are outside of condemnation. You don't have to go there. You don't have to dwell in it any longer. You have been washed in the blood. You have been made righteous. Amen? And even though there is judgment to come, the judgment that would have been yours and mine was poured out upon Jesus Christ himself, and he bore it in our place. So we don't have to fear the judgment to come. We can look at the judgment of God and know that it has been fulfilled in Christ in our place, and so we don't need to be condemned. However, on the other hand, the condemner is condemned, and all those that will choose to follow Satan, that will not choose Jesus. You see, if a person doesn't choose Jesus, they've chosen Satan. There's no middle ground. There's no other. Amen? The scripture says either we're children of God or children of the devil. Amen? Either we're eating off the table of the Lord or the table of demons, the scripture says. There's no middle ground in there. It's either or. Amen. And so you and me, as children of the living God, washed in his blood, our sin removed, obtaining righteousness from God by faith alone, we don't have to fear the judgment to come because we have been judged already in Christ. And when Jesus died, we died in Christ Jesus. When he rose from the dead, we rose from the dead in Christ Jesus. And when he ascended into heaven, we ascended into heaven in Christ Jesus. That's why the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. We're talking about your position in Christ. That's who you are. But the world that will choose to follow that broad path that leads to destruction will lead to judgment. And their judgment before God will be a judgment that will condemn them for all eternity. You see, every man, every woman that will stand before God's judgment bar on that day will stand there condemned because they themselves didn't choose the righteousness of God. It's that simple. They're not going to stand there because they were thieves or because they were murderers or because they were liars, even though many of them will be that kind. Some of them will be, for the lack of a better way of saying it, some of them will be doctors, influential. Do you hear what I'm saying? Some of them are going to be people of the community that have good social status. They never drank. They never did drugs. And they will stand before God's judgment bar and stand condemned because they turned away God's righteousness. And so whenever that judgment does happen, now remember, you as a child of God don't have to fear it. Do y'all understand that? The judgment seat of Christ that Paul talks about is a judgment that we will be judged by, but it's not a judgment for condemnation. It's a judgment for reward. Crowns. Amen. The Bible says there are many different crowns. The soul winner is going to receive a crown. Amen. Those that follow hard after Jesus and are faithful to the end will receive a crown. Amen. You as a child of God are washed in the blood, saved, and you don't have to fear God's judgment. Amen. And you can look forward to reward. But the one that has rejected Christ will stand before God's judgment seat, and there will be condemned only because of what they chose to do with Jesus, and that alone. You see, the world out there paints the picture that if, well, you know, somebody goes and gets a gun and shoots a lot of people like had happened in Las Vegas this past Monday, I mean, they're obviously going to go to hell, right? But let me say this. It's not the killing that gets him there. It's that he's outside of God's righteousness that will get him there. Do you understand? It's not going to be that the liar has told many lies is going to go there because of the many lies. It's because they're outside of the righteousness of God. Amen. But if that sinner, that murderer, that politician, that influential person that has never received Jesus turns to Jesus by faith, that individual will be washed in the blood, will be given God's righteousness, and can look forward to their eternal home in heaven. Amen. Amen. Every sinner before Christ has struggled with sin, as we all have. And when we come to Christ, we will still struggle with our humanity. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to trip up. We're going to lose our attitude. Sometimes we're going to say things we shouldn't say. Amen? But when we are sincere before God and we humble ourselves in His presence, repent before Him and turn from it and say, God, help me, we can know that we are going to be walking in the right before God. Amen? And so the Holy Spirit is going to do this work through you and through me. You see, He dwells within us. Now, it's not my duty to go and say to someone, you shouldn't be doing that. Do you hear what I'm saying? No, it's my responsibility to be so in touch with God that when they look at me, they themselves will feel the presence of God in my life, Lord willing. Amen? I remember hearing the story of someone when they were younger and they were in high school and they'd be around their friends. This person was raised in the church, had a relationship with God. And they would be in school and their friends would talk to them about the things that they were doing, but they would kind of keep some things away because they felt convicted. They wouldn't want to say about some of the things they did over the weekend because they felt convicted because the other person was a Christian and they knew they shouldn't be doing it. Amen? This individual wasn't saying you shouldn't or thou shalt not. They were just there being their friend. But conviction was emanating. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit made His dwelling within this individual. Amen. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. Amen. As a child of God, He dwells within you. And He wants to use you to be a light that is shining in the darkness. The light always exposes the darkness. Amen. And it's the Holy Spirit through you and through your words, yes, that will begin to bear down and begin to bring conviction. Amen. And He's going to bring them to an understanding of all of these things we've just talked about. You see, Jesus said, it's important for you that I go. Because if I don't go, He will not come. But when I go, I will send Him to you. And He will do that beautiful work. Amen? To convince you and me of who we are in Christ. And also to convince the world of their need for Christ. And what will happen if they don't choose Him. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.